Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. Today we continue with the conversation we started last week with the three candidates vying for the Democratic Party line for mayor of Syracuse. The primary election will be held September 10th. Joining me are the incumbent mayor, Stephanie Miner, city councilor Pat Hogan, and Alfonso Davis, an independent insurance agent. Last week we discussed the political process as it relates to the mayor's office. Today we will focus on specific policies affecting the city. Mayor Miner, Councilor Hogan, Mr. Davis, once again, welcome to the program, and thanks for being willing to engage with each other in this format.
Thank you.
Well, Councilor Hogan, I'd like to start with you. What are the most significant policy differences between you and the mayor?
Well, I think, as I travel through my council district and travel through the city, there's a there's an apprehension out there in a lot of our city neighborhoods, specifically the working class neighborhoods, about crime and safety. Myself and the mayor have had differences regarding this. We have the third largest police force for a city our size in the country, and I believe we should have more of a police presence in our neighborhoods. Currently, it doesn't seem to be happening. I've had three instances in just last week where the police were called by a constituent, and the police never showed up. Now, I think you have to deal, as a mayor, as a hands-on mayor, you're responsible for the police department. You have to deal with these issues, and you have to deal with them in a way that solves these problems. So I think that's probably one of the major differences.
Are you talking about spending more money on the police department? Are you talking about putting more police officers on the force? Are you talking about some other kind of restructuring?
I'm talking about reallocation of the resources into patrol. You know, right now, if you talk to an average police officer who's on a shift, you probably have 15 to 20 police officers on a shift in the daytime, and at night you might have 30. There should be 40 officers on a patrol shift. We should get those police officers out of the PSB to break down those special units and put them all in patrol. And prevention is the best policy. And I've also talked about walking beats. Once again, I've been called outdated and outmoded, but I remember a time when these city neighborhoods were safe. And I think it had a lot to do with the relationships the police on the beat have with the neighbors and on the street. You know, when you develop those resources, you develop those sources, your policing becomes a lot easier in a neighborhood perspective.
And Mr. Davis, same question. What are the most significant policy differences between you and the mayor?
Well, one of the things that I talked about, and if you do a fact check, you will know 4 years ago when I ran for mayor, I talked about specifically having officers developing a better relationship between our Syracuse City Police Department and the community at large. There's a huge disparity and distrust of particular communities with our law enforcement. And part of that, and for me, what I would like to see, and when I put it out there, I was told the same thing that as it was given to Pat Hogan, that my vision was outdated. And that's having law enforcement out of their police cars, patrolling the community, walking in the neighborhoods, engaging the people, getting to know the people in which they're patrolling, versus being overseers. We need you to be officers. Officers engage the community. Officers develop a partnership and develop a relationship so that when an incident does occur, versus you coming in on the scene as this supervisual person with this overseer perspective or this Gustavo perspective, you have a relationship with the people, and people are more in tune to engage you, to give you significant information that will help lead to solving problems within our community, that will help lead to reducing the tension that currently exists with the Syracuse City Police Department and the various neighborhoods throughout the city. And our current mayor believes that, you know, cameras and officers riding through the city with cop cars is somehow going to curtail crime in our city. And as we know, we've had 15 murders in the city of Syracuse, and she didn't show up on the scene until the 15th murder. So that people in the community that I've talked to said, did the other 14 people matter?
Mayor Miner, your two challengers here have focused on the police in trying to articulate what the most significant policy differences are. Are there specific actions that you have taken in your administration that you'd want to ask your two opponents about what they would have done differently?
Well, first I'd like to say, look, crime is a constant challenge for every city in the United States. The chief and I talk virtually every day about it, and we are focused on a continuum of solutions, both prevention and what we've done with Operation Truce and limiting gangs and getting gang members in and saying we're going to hold them accountable for that, and we've had success with that, but also for technology and seeing what has happened in places like New York City and in Rochester with crime cameras and getting them in the near west side, the south side, and now the north side. But also, we have said, and I said 4 years ago, that it was going to be a priority to improve relationships between the neighborhoods and the police department. And Chief Fowler and I have done really yeoman's work on that, and we still have a ways to go. But I'm very proud of the relationship that we've had, and we've had a lot of people talk to us about how much better it's gotten. I would challenge Councilor Hogan that if he says that the police didn't show up, did he call? Did he ask Chief Fowler? Did he tell him about it? Because that's the kind of stuff that we need to know that so that we can enact and make sure that the appropriate response next time is different. But the policy differences between me and my two opponents really boil down to one simple fact. My opponents do not want to make hard choices. And they have walked away from making hard choices. And the people of the city know that not only have I made them, but I've made them smartly and in the same way have been able to continue to keep the city moving forward by making these very difficult decisions. It's easy to stand up and promise everything to anyone. It is much more difficult to be financially responsible, to prioritize, and to figure out how you can use technology, how you can use the resources that you have, and how you can still be fiscally responsible at the end of the day. And we have done that.
And I'm going to come back and give the two of you a chance to engage that particular question. But, Councilor Hogan, you wanted to comment on something
And two things. The mayor, talked about the police department. Now, the council was united in opposition to take home cars by the police department. We had an agenda item where they wanted to spend $800,000 on marked police cars, which we approved. But the unmarked police cars, and the mayor talks about tough choices, she couldn't bring herself to tell the police chief that the policy regarding take-home cars, 47 of them, one goes to Monroe County, she couldn't tell them that they had stopped because of those tough choices, our fiscal challenges. And so we held back monies for unmarked cars. 3 weeks ago, I received numerous complaints from about a house on Barrett Street, which is on the near west side off of Merriman Avenue. Circus United neighbors contacted the police. I contacted the police. I went down there personally. The house had been taken over by drug dealers. It was like the day before Thanksgiving at Wegmans. That's how many people were lined up outside. It was appalling. And for 3 weeks, that house was allowed to exist, and finally the police acted. That stuff has got to stop. We have a city of families, and no neighborhood should have to undergo what they went through. So I contact the police quite a bit on everything.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner, City Councilor Pat Hogan, and Alfonso Davis. They're the candidates for mayor in the upcoming Democratic primary election. I want to pick up on this point that the mayor made before and ask both Councilor Hogan and Mr. Davis. You have both said that you would not have closed either the Ida Benderson Senior Center or Fire Station Number 7. So, Councilor Hogan, I'll stick with you here and then get Mr. Davis's response. How are you going to address the financial challenges facing the city? Because at some point, the city does have to say no.
Right, Grant. Now we have a $677 million budget. And in both cases you cited, the council found money in that budget to keep those places open. The firehouse on East Fayette Street, it doesn't make any sense from a strategic move, for one, because in another 2 years, you could walk out the back door of that firehouse and there'd be a whole new community around there. The Corps building for Logan's Cross. It's going to be 5,000 people there working and living. The Ida Benderson Center, maybe it's because I work for the Parks Department. Maybe it's because I'm a Democrat and I believe in democratic principles. I can't imagine any previous mayor closing the Ida Benderson Center. The people who are the least among us, we should support. Many of the folks that went to the Ida Benderson Center were from the James Geddes Housing in my council district. That was their only nutrition site. That Ida Benderson Center, and it's a fundamental misunderstanding what the Ida Benderson Center was by the city administration. That allowed a lot of those seniors to remain independent. To take that away from them, I don't know how you can really live with yourself. A Democratic mayor, that's the last place I would have closed. Transferring them and a backdoor deal with the Salvation Army that the council only found out about because of questioning by me was ridiculous. I mean, I'm going to reopen the Ida Benerson Senior Center.
Mr. Davis, how would you deal with the financial challenges of the city? Where are you going to say no?
Well, I find it interesting that the mayor talks about tough decisions, and that I don't have the will or the political will to make tough decisions. Closing the Ida Benerson Center because there was a $60,000 shortfall, I don't consider that a tough decision, especially when in the same breath you forgive the Chamber of Commerce $360,000 bill that they owe the city. And let's just add that her chief deputy mayor that she hired, a former chief of the Syracuse Fire Department, who she was paying $95,000 a year at the same time he was getting his pension. Do you consider that physical tough decisions? I don't think so. And then on top of that, you want to move our elderly to the Salvation Army? I like the Salvation Army. I like what they do for the community, but they have a lot of issues when it comes to what goes on in the Salvation Army. I wouldn't like to see my grandmother or any other grandmother going to the Salvation Army and being caught up in that piece when they had a place that was a safe haven for them. So I don't consider those tough decisions. I consider those doing political favors, and I consider those a lack of real physical responsibility when it comes to doing things that is best for the city of Syracuse.
Mayor Minor, there's a lot there to respond to, but briefly, how do you want to respond to
what you heard? The Ida Benerson Center, we had a choice, really. We were either going to be forced to close it or we were going to have to come up with a new solution. And we joined in a new partnership with the Salvation Army and reopened the Ida Benerson Center four blocks to the south. And now the seniors who were using the Ida Benerson Center are getting better services, and more seniors are using it than ever before. I've been there a number of times. I've visit with the seniors, and a number of them have said to me, you know what, Mayor, when you did this, we were really angry with you. But now that we're here and we've been here for a while, we're seeing our services are better, we're happier, we're getting the things that we need, the things that we could not provide them. We were not professionals in geriatrics. The Salvation Army has the ability to do that. Those are the kind of things that we're going to need to do to make sure that we continue to provide services and we make sure for innovative partnerships. I've done that with the county executive, with Save the Rain, with consolidation, with shared services, with an arborist, with economic development. I will continue to do that so that we can first and foremost, make sure that the people of the city of Syracuse get the services that they deserve and that they need, and at the same time, we continue to be fiscally responsible.
Well, let me stick with you. In a recent column about notable political speeches that were made in Syracuse, Sean Kirst quoted Martin Luther King speaking here in 1965, and King said then, urban segregated housing patterns, plus the increasing Negro population, plus the lack of job opportunities, plus the outward movement of white students to suburbs and private schools have combined to sharply increase the rate of effective segregation of ghetto schools. And then there was this recent map of housing patterns and race in the Syracuse area that was also published in the Post Standard, which shows just how segregated this region is. So what has your administration tried to do to address that? And really, what can any city do?
Well, first and foremost, I think the panacea to this is a good job. And in order to get a good job these days, you need to have a high school education and probably a college education. So we have been in the schools with Say Yes. We have funded Say Yes to the tune of $4.4 million. We have funded Say Yes in the summer with our Parks Department so that more children can have full summertime programming, academic supports, and then additional academic enrichment. More than 2,000 students are going to college now on Say Yes that otherwise would not have had an opportunity to do that. We got in the past 2 weeks, the U.S. Department of Labor came out and said that there was a growth of more than 4,000 jobs in the Syracuse metropolitan area. So we have seen job growth increase. But the real tragedy is that the people who don't have jobs don't have the skills necessary to get those jobs. So the long-term solution is giving them the tools to be able to get the skills to get those jobs. The short-term solution, we've been doing things like with our Joint School Construction Board, where we've renovated four schools and gotten that off the ground where it was stalled 5 years ago. We made sure that there were set-asides to make sure that there were disenfranchised populations that were both hired to work at that and companies who got those contracts. And we have worked very closely with SUNY Equal Opportunity Commission, and also worked with – we have had the most diverse hiring class for the fire department and the most diverse hiring class ever for the police department. So we've made sure that we as a city have actually hired disenfranchised populations as well.
My guests are Alfonso Davis, Syracuse City Councilor Pat Hogan, and Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner. They're the candidates for mayor in the upcoming Democratic primary election. Well, the health of the education system is obviously central to the future of the city. The mayor was just speaking about that. Councilor Hogan, would you endorse any kind of overall increase in the city's taxes to increase funding to the city schools?
Well, I certainly would be a strong advocate for pre-K funding. You know, this council has set aside money in the past for to fund, through pre-K funding. And, you know, I'm the only candidate who had actually worked in a city school. It's apparent to me that you have to front load the resources in the city schools in order to get the kids up to level. In fact, when I was in a kindergarten class at Seymour School, you would have to give a Peabody test, which measures the mental acuity of a child. And a lot of times, kids from an urban environment, they only have like they come in at 3-6 instead of 5 years old. They're about a year and a half behind. I mean, that is the way to solve. That problem. You have to bring them up to level by the fourth grade, or otherwise you're going to lose them. And that's a simple fact. Any educator will tell you that. In addition, with the Joint School Construction Board, I want to mention, I was appointed the Joint School Construction Board after it started. One of the unique things myself and President Robinson pushed for was a training program, and that was part of it. The training program, we worked with the Syracuse trade unions and actually trained 52 kids. Not kids, young adults, in the trades. And a lot of those folks went out and were able to get union cards, were able to work on projects and had actual skills. I mean, innovative type things like that. You know, I was campaigning on the south side the other day. Elmwood School is over there. It's empty. And I would like to try to get either grants or private money to turn Elmwood School into a trade center where we could train some of these young adults and some of the and other adults in the community in the trades.
Mr. Davis, would you be willing to increase taxes on the city's residents in order to?
Well, before I answer that question, I want to deal with this piece because the mayor just sat over here and pontificated about, you know, what she has done in terms of dealing with the question you talked about when Martin Luther King came to Syracuse and spoke about specific things that divides a community or separates a community in terms of race and poverty. I can respectfully say, and all the people that I've spoke to here in the city of Syracuse, to say that this administration has done absolutely nothing. When you really look at the finites of what's going on in the city of Syracuse and the disparity between particular neighborhoods and certain neighborhoods, I live right in front of the mayor. She lives in back of me. Where I live is a great neighborhood, and I like that neighborhood. But if you travel less than a mile away, you know, you're looking at a place that's almost worse than Baghdad. And if you travel on the south side and on the west side, the lower west side, where I pointed out 4 years ago, is the poorest area in New York State. Third poorest in the country. And if you look today, it's the same. So
what can a city do about that?
Well, what a city can do is, yes, say yes, education is great, but we have to understand not every young person is geared toward college. Not every young person has a skill set to go to college. So if you don't put a comprehensive vocational program together to begin to deal with training young people to get them from the classroom to the workforce, then you are not really helping the people of the city of Syracuse. And let's talk about these contracts, the joint school project to redo our city schools. We're the minority contractors who have the ability to hire minority people from the community to create jobs, to develop jobs for them. That doesn't exist. It hadn't exist. And I don't think this mayor has the political will to make that happen, because a lot of minority contractors that I speak to, that I've spoken to, they're not getting the contract to then hire young people within the community and to give them training so that they can have jobs, so that they can help add to our economy. That's not happening. So that's what a city could do. A mayor has to have the political will to say, I want to move my city forward, and I want to include everybody by doing things that is going to allow access, opportunity, and resource. It has not happened. If it has, show me.
Well, last week you brought up a commuter tax as a way to raise more money, and this has been part of your campaign. Mayor Minor, what do you think of this idea? It's come up before in previous mayoral campaigns and city council campaigns.
Look, I think it's deeply flawed. We're not going to put toll booths around our city. And right now
I'm
we
not
have
asking for toll booths.
Right now we have a downtown that is just starting to take root and a real economic development engine, and you would hear a giant sucking sound if you were to put in a commuter tax. Everybody would leave the city and move right to the outskirts, which they have done before, and we're bringing them back into the city. But our economic development, we function as a region. We don't function as a city versus a suburb. It's a region, and we need to work together to choose our assets and minimize our liabilities. And you've seen us do that successfully. The county executive and I have, and as a result of that, Central New York got the number one largest economic development grant from the governor's Regional Economic Development Council because we recognize that and we're moving forward in that. We're not engaging in regressive ideas like building a moat around the city and saying you got to pay a commuter tax to come work here.
I want to come back to Councilor Hogan.
We
got to
deal with that issue. We got to deal with that issue. And let's be clear about it because the mayor just misspoke about my proposal to put a commuter tax. I'm not talking about people who work in the city that live in the suburbs who have a business. I'm talking about specifically individuals who draw a check from the city of Syracuse. Specifically, individuals who draw a check from the city of Syracuse, be that firefighters, police officers, school teachers, and people who work at City Hall. If you draw a check from the city of Syracuse and you live outside the city, you are putting absolutely nothing back into the city coffer. So I'm not talking about imposing, putting up toll booths to collect tolls from people coming into the city of Syracuse back and forth. I am specifically talking about that group of people who are drawing a check every 2 weeks from the city of Syracuse and putting nothing back into the city coffer. That's what I'm talking about.
Mayor Minor, do you like that idea better?
No, it's patently illegal. You can't tax a group, an income tax, based on where they work like
that. Oh, absolutely. Several cities are doing it. Philadelphia is doing it. It's not illegal. Several cities are doing it. If you're drawing a check and you're putting a demand on city services, but you are putting nothing back into our coffer, that's not illegal to do.
Councilor Hogan, what are your views on this commuter tax idea?
Well, first of all, the commuter tax, I mean, that's been bandied about for a while. And, in fact, I used it as I threw it out there when we were negotiating about the sales tax. Myself and the Mayor Minor worked together on a strategy to get try to put our case forward as far as a sales tax, and it worked out pretty well because we ended up getting a larger share of the sales tax. So I think the situation is, we all know the situation. We got 56% of the total assessed value of the city we can't tax. And the mayor talks about eds and meds, but and how important they are. And, of course, we got people that come from all over the county to come work in the city of Syracuse. But in reality, Syracuse University, $624 million of assessed value, gives us about $500,000 a year. St. Joe's, $324 million of assessed value, gives us nothing. We have to bargain with these folks, and we have to bargain them in a way that produces something. And right now, and personally, the mayor, that hasn't happened. In Boston, all the nonprofits pay a service fee. All the hospitals, the colleges, everybody. I mean, it just, we cannot turn away from this problem. We have to, and there's certain situations, much like the bookstore pilot agreement, things like that, where Syracuse University has to come to the city council and the city administration and ask for favors, and we have to use that leverage in order to get them to pay more.
Grant, I just have to say, look, I have been the first mayor in the history of New York State who's negotiated successfully service agreements. Syracuse University, because of my leadership, is now giving the city of Syracuse over $1 million a year. Krause Hospital is also giving us money. I have had the nonprofits come to the table, and we have negotiated an innovative approach that's going to cut down on our health care. So to talk about eds and meds have to do more, I've been singing that successfully and been arguing that case. And have been doing it. And I would also say that for Councillor Hogan, who was a champion of the Destiny Project and the Destiny pilot, which was a 45-year pilot, to bandy something about against me about pilots is just disingenuous at best.
Well, first of all, it's quid pro quo. I mean, the Connective Corridor, for instance, $10 million or whatever it was in state aid, that had to be passed through the city council. That had to be passed through the city. I mean, certainly that's a leverage point. and to attack me about destiny. When I voted against the lawsuit, when we consistently lost lawsuits against Pyramid and everybody else, that's pretty ridiculous. We took the deal that was put on the table, the final deal, and that was it.
No, you took the deal that was put on the table. I did not.
And that's right. And you spent city money to try to fight the deal,
and
you lost.
I did. And you know what? It's remember when it was supposed to be nothing like it in the world? And it's exactly like every other mall in the world. And I'm proud of that action. I'm proud that I stood up when nobody else would. That's leadership. That's why this community elected me mayor, and that's why they're going to reelect
me
mayor.
That's what you'd call losing leadership, because 800 acres of industrial wasteland turned into what Destiny is now, that has visitors from all over the country and Canada, drives up our sales tax revenue. You know, Mayor, we were presented with the last deal, and you decided to take it further and try to win a lawsuit. Because you're, you know, in the legal profession, and you lost.
Well, I just find it interesting that we're talking about this piece.
You're going to have the last word on this back and forth, Mr.
Davis. I find it interesting that we're talking about this piece when we look at what Destiny has done in the city of Syracuse. The fact of the matter is that they're here. Bob Condro and Bruce Kenyon are here. Destiny Mall exists. So where we should be now is trying to broker some conversation where we could talk about how the city can benefit more from Destiny Mall, how the city can benefit more, because it's here. To waste money suing on something that was already approved and she voted on, by the way, to make that happen is pointless. But at the end of the day, we have to deal with what are we doing right now and how are we going to move our city forward. This mayor has not moved this city forward in a progressive way that is going to allow access, opportunity, and resources for the people of the city of Syracuse. That's why you have myself challenging her along with Mr. Hogan, because within our own party, because only when you look at the end of the day, 11,000 and something odd votes voted for her in the general election. That's not even a mandate for anyone who's running for public office. So we are where we are.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations, and I'm talking with Syracuse City Councilor Pat Hogan, Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner, and Alfonso Davis, candidates for mayor in the upcoming Democratic primary election. A couple more questions here before we wrap it up. You've already brought up the issue of the police force and changing the way that the police goes about its business. I wanted to ask a question that was more specifically focused just on the police chief, because a couple weeks ago on this program, Councillor Deno in the City Councilor Forum was quite critical of some of the recent behavior of the police department and called for more accountability both by and for Police Chief Fowler. There are also renewed concerns about the level of violent crime in the city, and you've all spoken about that. So let me ask this to you, Councillor Hogan. Would you make any changes at that level? Would you be looking at that? Is there an issue about the accountability for the police chief that needs to be addressed?
Well, the Syracuse Police Department has had problems. We all know that. You know, we're sitting on the council. I sat on the council, Mayor Miner, numerous lawsuits against the police department. The problem with the crime lab, the problem with crime and safety in the city, the administration. But, you know, I'm not going to talk about a personnel issues like that. You know, I worked for a bunch of previous administrations, and, you know, I don't think that's fair for Chief Fowler. But I want to say that, obviously, the mayor is in charge of the city. The mayor is in charge of the police department, the fire department, the Department of Public Works, and the Parks Department. Any kind of criticism with any kind of city administration is leveled at her. It's not, you know, the police chief works for the mayor.
And Mayor Miner, you have said in the past, basically, essentially, I'm standing by this police chief, period. Is it time to make that support more conditional on generating different outcomes?
No, absolutely not. I am proud. Chief Fowler is the right person for the right job at the right time. And he's done outstanding work, and he will continue to do outstanding work. And I more than stand by him. I'm proud to associate myself with him. And I would also tell you that when Chief Fowler and I came into office, when I essentially hired him and named him chief, we talked about the need to change the attitude of the police department and that a lot of things had happened in the past that needed to change. And Chief Fowler and I did that, and I stood up alone. So when I took away awards from police police officers who had acted inappropriately, I was alone. You didn't see anybody else from, on the council or in the community standing up and saying, congratulations, Mayor, you did the right job. When I said to the police department that they had to have sexual harassment training and they had to go through it and we were going to pay for it, there was nobody else standing up saying, good job, Mayor, good job, Chief Fowler, you're doing the right thing. We have done yeoman's work in changing the attitude and changing the culture, but that continues to be a priority of ours, and you can't do it all overnight, and we're focused on it every single day, and the chief is the right person to do that.
And, Mr. Davis, do you agree with the mayor that the chief is the right person at the right place at the right time here?
I won't make an assessment of what Chief Fowler has done or hasn't done from this vantage point. But on January 1st, when I take office, then I'll make the proper assessment to see where we are, where the city needs to go, whether or not if the relationship has fostered or developed a more positive and more collaboration and a more workable relationship with the community at large. Because at the end of the day, while the chief serves at the discretion of the mayor, the chief still has to have the ability and the autonomy to do his or her job effectively. So,
and let me stick with you for the final question. It's the elevator speech, and 30 seconds, repeat, 30 seconds. Tell me why you're the best candidate in this field of three.
I'm homegrown, born and raised here in this city of Syracuse, from Pioneer Homes to now Brookford Road. So I'm homegrown. I am the best candidate to move this city forward with the vision that includes everyone, excludes no one. I'm the best candidate to move this city forward in terms of innovation and exciting ideas that will engage every segment of our city of Syracuse and not just certain segments of the city of Syracuse. So on September 10th, I will employ every individual who wants a leader that has the temperament and have the skill set to move our city forward to vote for me, because I am the best candidate.
Councilor Hogan, your elevator speech.
Grant, my son Joe, he's getting married September 7th. He's marrying a woman by the name of Ksenia Lefanova. I want to make sure that I leave him a city that is that he can raise his children in. And that's what it all comes down to, is what kind of city we leave our sons and daughters. After 34 years in the Parks Department, 3 years in the school system, and 8 years as a city councilor, I think I'm the best person to lead the city.
Mayor Minor, you have the last word here.
Well, I want to thank you, Grant, for the opportunity. And I want to say, when I ran for mayor 4 years ago, people despaired about Syracuse and thought its best days were behind it. And now, 4 years later, people are saying, you know, for the first time in my memory, I think we have a city that is moving in the right direction, a city where our children will decide to live in, because we have done so much innovation and so much good work, and that we have been recognized by IBM as a smarter city. We've been recognized by the Bloomberg Philanthropies. We have seen more economic development, more permits than in recent history. We've seen so much progress in education that we have the President of the United States coming to a city high school to celebrate all of the good work that we've done. And at the same time, we have embraced all that we can do with technology and innovation, working with the county executive, and moving our city forward. There are tremendous challenges that we have overcome. There are even more to come. And the way that you do that is being honest with people, being innovative, and continuing to focus on the future, not the past.
That was Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Minor, City Councilor Pat Hogan, and Alfonso Davis, candidates for mayor in the upcoming Democratic primary election. If you're a registered Democratic voter, remember that the election is September 10th. Thanks again to the three of you for talking with me.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you. Grant.